This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's the Marketplace Midday Update. I'm Amy Scott, in for David Brancaccio. The U.S. Department of Education said yesterday that ITT Educational Services, the parent company of ITT Technical Institutes, cannot use federal financial aid to enroll new students anymore. It's the latest move in an ongoing crackdown on for-profit colleges. Some have been accused of saddling students with debt for low-quality degrees and misleading students about job prospects. Marketplace's Andy Euler is following this for us. So, Andy, what does this mean for ITT?
This was not good news for ITT. Of the school's reported earnings last year, over 80% came from federal aid. Now, the feds also told ITT it has to set more than twice as much in cash reserves aside than it currently has on hand. That's because the DOE doesn't really trust the school's financials. Ben Miller with the Center for American Progress told us that requirement might spell the end for them.
I would be very surprised if ITT was able to find the money the department is requesting. If you look at it, basically, they have to come up with about $153 million within 30 days. And normally, if I was a for-profit college, I would find this money by enrolling and recruiting new students.
And with today's news, it can't do that. Now, Miller said ITT is not the only for-profit college that's in trouble. They've all seen decreases in the enrollment, but he also says it's probably the worst off because it currently is facing those legal actions you were talking about. 19 state officials are investigating ITT over what they say are unfair marketing and recruiting practices and also falsifying job placement numbers.
Okay, so say I'm a current ITT tech student that gets financial aid. What do I do now?
So the vast majority of the 40,000 or so students at ITT campuses get federal aid, so you wouldn't be alone. And the Department of Education knows this, so it put sort of a guide for current students together. There are a few options. You can continue your courses at ITT if you want to assume they'll stick around. You can also transfer your credits to a new school if that new school is willing to accept the credits, and you can finish up there. Or you can just pause your education and wait and see what happens. But if you just enrolled and haven't started classes yet, I think this is really important. You can't start in the fall using federal financial aid.
All right. Marketplace's Andy Euler. Thanks so much. There's news. The world's biggest pension fund, Japan's Government Pension Investment Fund, has revealed investment losses of roughly $52 billion in the most recent quarter. The fund blamed the uncertainty following the UK's vote to leave the European Union for huge quarterly losses posted today. Russell Padmore from our partners at the BBC looked into this for us.
GPIF cited the surprise vote in June by the British people to leave the European Union for triggering a surge in the value of the yen against the dollar and a slide in stock markets. Shares across the world tumbled following the Brexit vote, including Japan's Nikkei index, which fell 7% in the quarter to the end of June. In the last year, GPIF has been reacting to the economic stimulus plans of Prime Minister Shinzo Abe by selling low-yielding government bonds in favour of foreign equities. At the end of June, foreign shares made up a fifth of its holdings. The fund's president, Norihiro Takahashi, has said it will strengthen risk management and insisted investments are made, quote, with a long-term view.
Russell Padmore with the BBC. It's only been a couple of months since the widened Panama Canal opened, but already it's having an effect on the Gulf Coast. We heard news this week that the first ship carrying liquefied natural gas from U.S. fracking was heading through the canal to China. That ship came from a port on the Louisiana-Texas border. But further along the coast, the Port of Houston has been prepping for this vast opportunity with $1 billion in planned upgrades. From Houston, Gail DeLauder has this report.
It's a hot, humid morning at the Port of Houston. I'm looking at a line of towering dockside cranes rising through the heat and haze behind a wall of colorful containers.
Well, right now we're at our Bayport terminal, the newest facility at the Port of Houston Authority.
That's Ryan Mariocker, who oversees the port's container terminals. He's showing me 9 new cranes they've bought for that terminal that are almost 28 stories tall. They've also dredged the port's channels to accommodate the bigger vessels. Those ships need a depth of about 45 feet of water, about 5 feet more than before. Port officials expect about a 15% boost in activity by 2020.
Here presently in 2016, we're about halfway through our master plan development build-out, and we'll continue to build out over time as volume increases.
The Port of Houston primarily handles cargo that travels by truck, and the region already has an extensive highway network. Chief Commercial Officer Ricky Kuntz says it's a pretty even mix of imports and exports, and that's one of their selling points. Kuntz says containers arrive in Houston full, and they leave full.
Ocean carriers obviously like that, because if you're carrying an empty box, you're not making any money.
Coming into Houston are ships carrying consumer goods, like clothes and electronics. When they head out, many are loaded with plastic resins generated by the petrochemical industry.
This is new cargo that is being generated for export, and it's only for export.
This should translate into hundreds of new jobs in logistics and distribution. Maria Burns is with the Center for Logistics and Transportation Policy at the University of Houston. She says schools need to train young people for this new era.
Anything from business, being an entrepreneur, being a leader, could also help you learn things about the supply chain and also trade, transportation mode, and technologies. They all blend together so well.
The port expects business to really pick up starting in 2017. In Houston, I'm Gail DeLauder for Marketplace.
Publishing bits of news in its search results could get more expensive for Google. The Financial Times reports the European Commission is finalizing rules that would allow European news publishers to charge search engines that display excerpts from their stories. In Washington, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.